When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Matthew 16:13-16. And now it's time for Who Do You Say I Am with Father Mitch Pacwa. And now, Father Pacwa.
The peace of God be with you. I'm Father Mitchell Pacwa, and we're here to discuss the New Age, the New Age movement. And frankly, this is one of the weirdest things that I've ever studied in my life. And this aspect of the New Age is one of the weirdest parts of the New Age that there is. That is, the whole issue of crystals and crystal enlightenment. Now, this was not very big early in the New Age movement, but all of a sudden, in the early 80s, it took off. In fact, one of the places where I learned about some of the roots of the crystals taking off was in a book by Randall Baer, who wrote Inside the New Age Nightmare. As a matter of fact, I'd like to dedicate this show to Randall Baer, who had been a New Ager himself, and the leading, or one of the leading, authorities in the New Age movement on crystals. However, he came to Christ. He left behind him the New Age movement, let all that go and rejected it, repented of it. And as he came to Christ, you know, began to teach other people to get out of the New Age movement. Unfortunately, he died in an automobile wreck in 1989. So we want to continue to pray for his soul and also pray in gratitude that he came out of it. Now, early on in the beginning of the series, we started growing some of our own crystals in a bowl of water. We bought it at a science store. You can, you know, put some powder in the water, and the reaction of the water makes the crystals grow. As you can see, it's not that big a deal. These aren't especially beautiful crystals so far, partly because I messed it up by adding too much water into it. And I didn't realize that the crystals will grow from this bit of dust you put into it only when the water evaporates, because that's the chemical reaction that goes on with this type of crystal. Now, there are all sorts of kinds of crystal, and crystal is the most common mineral on the planet. It's all over the place, and there are different colors and different types and different chemical bases in it. What is it that makes something a crystal? Well, it has a specific chemical basis, that there's a chemical structure. And a crystal also has specific geometric shapes on the outside. So there's an inside geometric structure and an external, an inside chemical structure and an external geometric structure. So the crystals have different shapes, like you saw in our bowl of crystals. Some of them are longer, and they have points at the ends, and so on. Now, why do the New Agers get into crystals so much? What's the basis of their fascination? Well, one obvious thing, of course, is that crystals are pretty. And just because New Agers like crystals, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't. Though one priest talked to me after Mass one day, we'd celebrated out in California, and he said, really go after this New Age crystal craze, because this guy was a rock collector. He likes the beauty of the rocks themselves. And he said, I can't afford it anymore. The prices of crystals have gone sky high, and I can't, you know, keep up with my rock collection because of the demand on them. So the beauty of crystals is one issue at stake, you know, for people to get interested in it. And that's not bad. You know, we should love beautiful things because of their beauty. They're part of God's creation. But the New Agers take it a few steps further. Now, they begin with a scientific fact, a fact that most of us use in everyday life. For instance, it's a fact that when you take a crystal and you squeeze it and then let it go, it releases an electric charge. Okay? So when you put mechanical pressure on a crystal, it releases an electric charge. This is very interesting. This is called piezoelectricity, or piezoelectric charges. It's a very, very minuscule charge. As a matter of fact, it's a lot less than walking around my house in the wintertime up in Chicago when everything is dry and the heat is on, and then going and touching somebody from behind and giving them an electric shock. You know, that's static electricity. Static electricity is a lot more powerful than piezoelectricity in terms of anything that you and I can feel. And as a matter of fact, if they wanted to get into power, they should go around collecting carpets in the wintertime in Chicago rather than crystals. But then there's another thing with crystals that are very interesting. When you take and apply electricity to a crystal, it gives off mechanical energy. See, just the opposite of when you apply mechanical energy and squeeze it, then a crystal gives off electricity, piezoelectric power. But when you apply electricity to a crystal, it gives off a certain type of mechanical energy. As a matter of fact, I've got a crystal watch. When you take the watch works by crystal, you can't see it, of course, it's on the inside, and most people's watches today work by crystals. Well, you take a battery that gives off a steady electric charge to the crystal, and the crystal will vibrate at a steady rate mechanically, and because the rate is so steady, it keeps very good time. It keeps your clock working very, you know, at a very regular rate and hardly goes off, you know, in terms of being slow or fast, unless, of course, the battery stops. So those are some of the physical properties of crystals, and that has attracted New Agers to the crystal. What's that got to do with New Age? Well, remember what they have said many times throughout this TV series, that the New Agers believe that everything is one, and they go back to the principle of Albert Einstein, that energy equals mass times the speed of light squared, E equals mc squared, and say, aha, you see, everything is one, everything is energy. And then they say everything is vibrating, and there is vibration. There are brain waves or light waves or all sorts of, you know, different waves going on in energy. And crystals, of course, have electronic waves or mechanical waves when you apply electricity to them, or electric waves when you hold on to them. So they say, aha, you can get in power with the crystal waves and coordinate your personal vibrations, your psychological and psychic vibrations, with the vibrations of the universe when you coordinate them with the crystals. Well, does that make sense? I don't think so. We're going to come back in just a moment to take a look at what some of the things are that the New Agers deduce from this claim, and then what the science and psychology and scripture have to say in response. So please stay with us. Taking a look at crystal power as the New Agers try to use it. And now there are New Age conferences on crystals. There are books that you can find on how to use crystals for healing and other things. And there are all sorts of seminars you can go to on crystal power. Keep this in mind. The New Agers themselves do not all agree on the power of the crystals. But they have sometimes they do agree, and as a matter of fact, they agree to disagree about it. In one of the videotape I saw of a crystal conference out in Los Angeles, they said, look, we don't have to agree or convince each other of my own truth, because I create my truth, you create your truth. Does this sound familiar? That's so typical New Age, isn't it? where you can do your own thing, and you do your own thing with the crystals. So whatever power you want to get out of the crystals, you can. But let's talk a little bit about some of the things that they say about the crystals. Let me first of all show you a picture from the Chicago Tribune of May 22, 1988. And in this picture, you see a crystal practitioner laying out crystals on a young man. And this young man has crystals all up and down his body, you know, beginning from his navel, going up to his head. Now, what's the idea behind this practice? Well, it's very important to understand. This young man has come here for crystal healing. And the principle is that there are different chakras in the body. Remember we talked about chakras in an earlier episode? This comes from Hindu religion. The chakras are seven energy centers in the body from a kind of yoga called Kundalini Yoga. And the idea is that at the base of the spine of each person is a serpent, a mystical serpent of some sort. And that when you start Kundalini Yoga, you awaken the serpent. And he moves from the base of the spine, the very tip of the spine, up to different seven chakras. And as the Kundalini serpent moves up the spine and activates your chakras through meditation and so on, then you are gaining different levels of enlightenment, until you finally get to the top chakra. Now, the base chakra is down at the very base of the spine. They don't show that because this young man apparently doesn't have any clothes on, so they're not going to show that, and I'm not either. And then there's another one that's associated with the sexual organs. Again, we're not going to show you that at all. The third chakra is at the navel. Now, we can let you see that because this navel isn't going to lead us into sin, I don't think. That they put a crystal right here, a yellow crystal, on top of the navel. And then there are other crystals that go up here around the chest. Now, I don't know if he couldn't lay still long enough or what, but there's another chakra here at the neck. And then there's one over here at the forehead, and then there's one on top of the head. And you see a quartz crystal being applied there. And what are some of the practices that they're trying to do? They're trying to activate the different chakras because different colors are associated with different chakras. And they believe that if you get the right color crystal with the right chakra, then you can activate its power. And that the different crystals will get this going. And that's what they try to teach you. And then you take different kind of crystals, because you notice they have different shapes. Some of them are squares, some of them are long, wands, and some of them are round and tear-shaped and so on. And here, the crystal practitioner has a wand crystal in this hand, and then a quartz wand crystal in this hand. And what she's trying to do is get energy to go shooting through and up and down, over back forth, through the different chakra centers to get the power moving. Now, I read one book, and this will sound crazy. Matter of fact, just thinking about it, makes me laugh. Because in one of the books I read by Katrina Raphael, about crystal power, as I understood her saying this at the beginning of the book, she wanted to thank her greatest teachers about this crystal power. Now, where did she say that she learned about the power, which crystals go in which chakras, and what kind of things that they can heal? Because she gives in the book different sections on aquamarine and quartz and turquoise and all these different crystals. She's an amethyst. She says, how did I learn this? The crystals themselves are my greatest teachers. That she would meditate on the crystals, and the crystals would tell her what worked and what didn't work, when it would work and how it would work. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't learned much from talking to rocks or meditating on rocks. She claims that she can. I haven't, and I don't believe that you can at all. The thing that I believe you can learn from studying rocks or looking at rocks is to see something beautiful. But anything more than that is saying too much. And secondly, there's a real problem in terms of physics, that to do with this. How can this possibly work? How can we say anything will come out of the crystals? First of all, the piezoelectric energy can only be released when you hold it and let go of a crystal. It's not a continuous current. So just laying crystals on top of somebody's body does not release any piezoelectric energy. And it doesn't release its waves. Secondly, as mentioned in this very same article that I pointed out to you, some scientists also gave their comments. And they said that the waves inside human bodies are at completely different frequencies from crystals. Thirdly, you cannot get in contact with brain waves from human beings unless you're right on the scalp. Only when you're actually with the, you know, touching the scalp, or of course if you're inside the brain, then you can feel them. You know, if you're, you know, using sensitive instruments, you can feel it on the scalp. Far away, you can't feel it. There's no way for human waves and human brain waves to contact the crystals. There's nothing scientific behind this. This is just like astrology, where you see that the emperor is naked. Remember the story of the emperor who was told that he has beautiful clothes on, and that these tailors said, only people who understand the truth can see these clothes. If you do not love the truth, you cannot see them. Well, that's exactly what these people are like. They say that if you see what we're teaching you, you'll understand this. I think that they're doing something that's false entirely. And we ought to be just like the little kids in the story of the emperor, who said, look, mommy, the emperor is naked. He's walking around with no clothes on. Everybody else was afraid to say, said, oh, yes, you must be enlightened. You must see it. Uh-uh. That it's just the kid who sees things as they really are that we ought to be. And say that, look, there's nothing with the crystals and it doesn't work. There's a few more things to say about these crystals and what the New Agers talk about. So let's stay tuned and we'll come back and continue our conversation. Welcome back. We've been talking about crystals and how some of the New Agers use them and how, in fact, there's nothing that can be scientifically shown to relate crystals to human healing or human vibrations or anything like that at all. And that the science behind it is, like we said before, the emperor has no clothes. There's nothing behind it. It's not true. It doesn't work. But what do they do instead? A number, as we showed in the last segment, that a number of people coordinate their use of crystals with meditation and altered states of consciousness. One of the videotapes I had seen about crystals and empowerment, you know, combined it with all sorts of forms of breathing techniques and so on. That this was a way to activate Kundalini Yoga and get us to believe in the universe being one. And as a matter of fact, a good deal of crystal work is closely associated with belief in pantheism. I'll give you an example. That one of the people that I heard at on a videotape of a crystal conference was a man named Harley Swiftdeer, who calls himself a shaman. That is, someone who practices what we might call witch doctor. That witch doctor has such a more negative connotation, and they don't like to use that for themselves. But shamans and witch doctors are oftentimes equated. Shaman is the more technical term for it that's used in anthropology, though. He also claims to be a psychologist. And he has a number of mystical things about his beliefs in crystals. He first of all starts off with believing that the earth is our grandmother. Now from this, he believes that the earth is alive. The earth is not just inert, it's not just a planet there, but it's very much alive. And he goes on, as I understand him, to say that the mother bears her children. Now what are the children of the earth mother, or earth grandmother? Well, the plants, and then the animals, and human beings, so that we're all her children. And that another important part of his view of the crystals in relation to all this is that the crystals are the ideas of, or the brain cells of Mother Earth. And that this brain cell in Mother Earth is something that all of us can get in contact with. And that I would assume that, I'm not sure exactly what he means by all this, but my assumption is that as you get in contact with the brain cells of Mother Earth and hold crystals and use the crystals, then what you can do is, you know, start to understand what her memory is and Mother Earth's memories, and that you can get in tune with that. That'd be my assumption, what he's all about. Now, he also relates this to his views of Jesus Christ. And this is where, besides being the stuff about crystals and the Earth Mother being alive and all of that being problematic in and of itself, then he starts to say things about Christ. That first of all, he says that we have made an anti-religion out of the teachings of Jesus Christ. That by our teaching of our faith, we make an anti-religion. Why does he say that? Because he calls, first of all, Jesus a famous teacher. Jesus, for this man, like for most New Agers, is not God the Son, who is the Redeemer of the world, but rather Jesus is simply an enlightened teacher. And if you learn what he has to teach you, then you also can be enlightened, and you can become what Jesus said. And that's exactly what he says here. He quotes from Christ, and quotes kind of truly, where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Well, that's right. That's John chapter 14, verse 6. And that's right in the scriptures. And then he goes on to quote and says, and even as I am, you may be also. For even greater works than I have done, which I have done in my Father's name, you shall do. Now here's where he also has kind of a quote from John's gospel, which says, even greater works than I have done, you shall do. And I did it in my Father's name. Yes, Jesus did his works in the name of the Father. And he did tell us that we can do even greater works than he did, and that we will do them. All right? So that's good, and that's kind of true. But here's the problem. Where it says, for even as I am, you also may be. Now, Jesus never said that. I'd like to see a single text in the gospel which quotes that. Now, I know that Joseph Smith has something like that. Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormons, says that as God was, as we are, God once was. And as God is, we shall become. Now, Joseph Smith, the founder of Mormons, and which I and other people like Walter Martin would consider, in our opinion, to be a cult. But here we have the a similar idea, you know, being taught about Jesus Christ. Jesus never said that. And it's not in the gospel at all. He doesn't say that we shall become what he is. And then he goes on to emphasize this, and that we are supposed to be able to do greater works than Jesus Christ did by our own power. And that we make a grave mistake by putting Jesus above us. And that we should not put Jesus above us, but rather keep him at our same level. And then, or even below us, because we cannot do greater works than Jesus unless we are greater than Jesus. That's the assumption. That's the conclusion that I would draw as I understand this talk by this Harley Swiftdeer. So you see, the idea of the crystals starts off for him and leads to other theological ramifications. Now, this is something that I find confirmed in what Randall Bear said in his book, In the Nightmare of the New Age. Inside the Nightmare, the New Age Nightmare. Here we see that Randall Bear, again, when I saw a tape of Randall Bear, when he was still into the New Age movement. And Randall, you know, says that, you know, crystals are the great strengths of the crystal kingdom, that they have a overall scheme and themes, and that they help us to link up with the heights and the depths of the universe. Okay, that's one of his ideas. And that, but he also goes on to say in the same talk at this conference on crystals, that we don't need the crystal to do these things, they're simply helpful tools. We have the capability within our divine blueprint to do all the spiritual evolvement sequences within our own being. see how his ideas are similar to this man named Swift Deer, that we have the divine power within us. And when Randall Bear was a member of the New Age movement, he taught that we could get with this power that is within us, and the crystals simply help us. They focus the energy, they focus our concentration, and help us to get into this other state of consciousness. But in and of themselves, they don't do it. It's just a technique to help us get our own inner spiritual divine powers. This belief of the New Age is so typical and so common. What did Randall Bear say about this later on? Well, first of all, when he was meditating on crystals once in his own laboratory, his own room for working with crystals and pyramids, which he had all over the place, he was meditating, had a beautiful experience of another consciousness and how everything was wonderful and fell in the heights of the universe. But then all of a sudden, he also experienced a terrible presence, an evil presence, a dark presence, trying to kill him and destroy him. At which point, he then experienced another presence, Christ, come into his life and drive it away. From that point on, he began to realize he had not just been playing with his own consciousness, but had been opening himself up to evil influences, and he needed Christ to come into his life. And so he invited Christ. He saw preachers tell him about Christ, and then Randall himself accepted Christ, and then told people, get out of the New Age movement. And in this light, he died. May you also find Christ and stay with him to the rest of your life.